This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright, and you still can't follow me on X, the Everything app. It's going great. We're day six in. It's awesome. But as always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. If you're away from the radio dial, you can always stream us on the Odyssey app, free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand with the rewind feature. You can also stream us on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app, as well as iHeartRadio and the iHeartRadio app. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day, Jeffrey. And you shouldn't tell people they can't follow you. They just shouldn't. They still can. Like, the account is still up.
Yeah, don't open anything. Don't open anything.
I still haven't gotten any DMs from you. Yeah, now, that could just be because...
Are your DMs closed, though, maybe?
No, they're just broken.
Yeah, there you go.
They're all just broken on X.
I wouldn't take it personally because it seems like a link was sent to everyone. I have people that have 7 followers that said, "Hey, did you send this to me?" Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So no, it's awesome.
Not great.
It's been fabulous. My company is each and every Tuesday on the program. He is the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast. Episodes available each and every week. You can also see him Saturdays on VSiN's College Football Betting Tailgate Show. Saturdays, 8 a.m. Central Time. You can also see him on VSiN Primetime. Follow him on the Everything app at 1TimMurray. Tim, good day, sir.
So I'm not supposed to vote for you
no.
to co-host a podcast
I don't know if Spotify
and Google.
I don't know if everyone knows. I think that is the source of the hack for me. Because I had a... Normally, I'm very good on phishing. But I had a... follower that does a podcast, and it's, you know what I mean, like, it was one of those ones like, okay, I'm helping a buddy out, and I was like, okay, sure. And when I guess I started sending that out, aka whoever hacked my account started sending that out, I did the math of, oh, that's where it all comes from.
Have they been tweeting about anything else?
I don't know. Apparently I bought a Maybach last week.
It is. Yep.
I bought a couple of nice cars. Yeah. I was mining some Bitcoin. Which I was trying to explain to everyone.
I saw that tweet and I was like, that's weird.
What's funny is about 80% of my friends were like, hey, you got hacked. And then like 10% were like, you got a new car?
For what it's worth, the timing could not have been any weirder.
Yeah, but when it's like you got a new car mining for Bitcoin, like
that's kind of a weird mix.
And it's like there's some people that like, okay, maybe they don't have enough of a personal relationship, but like when some of your longest friends think that like that was a legitimate thing that you would brag about, I was like, I don't know where our friendship went wrong. It's been an awesome week. It really has been. So let's talk about what we're coming up on the program. So we have the whole, is this the most insane coaching carousel ever? I want to talk about that with you because I also want to discuss the LSU job because I think it is a interesting case study. Also, I would like to get into who would we sharpie into the playoff because I get it. We still have a month of football left. I think there's a lot of teams getting sharpied in that I'm just not confident one way or the other on, and it's not necessarily because of what I think of the teams. It's because when I start to look at the map, there starts to be some interesting questions that I don't know how the committee would answer them, so I want to discuss that with you. We'll get into our weekly awards during the next segment. We will also get into the list during hour number two, an insane World Series game three. Interesting story from Andrew Marchand of The Athletic about Scott Van Pelt and a potential partnership, or I guess a possible partnership that fell through. I wanted to discuss that. His perhaps new landing spot. It would still be at ESPN, but I think there were a couple of dots that I was able to connect, so I want to discuss that with Tim. Take a look at the lines, tell your story, and then we'll get out of here. So, Tim, I guess the question always is, whenever we hear this is the most insane or this is the, you know, the hyperbolic answer, I always tend to say, all right, let's get critical with it. It's not necessarily that I want to poo-poo the idea, but let's see whether or not the statement holds up. I think the statement that this could be the most insane coaching carousel 100% holds up. So Jason Kirk, who writes the Until Saturday newsletter for The Athletic, notes that the 11 firings in the FBS are the most firings we've ever seen before November 1. So right there, we're already off. We've got the Penn State job open, we have the Florida job open, and now we have the LSU job open. We have potentially the Florida State job opening, we have potentially the Auburn job opening, we could have the
Wisconsin
opening, we could have Michigan State opening. This is before we even get to the point where coaches start leaving jobs for other jobs. So I don't know how you feel, but I'm okay with right now of saying where we are on the calendar, this could be the most insane coaching carousel ever.
Certainly trending that way. I think back to the offseason of 21, and we had a sitting coach at Notre Dame leave for LSU, which I think that was the first time in school history that a Notre Dame coach had voluntarily left the post for another job. We had the Oklahoma coach leave for USC. So I think it became pretty wacky because of the high-profile jobs that two coaches left. But I think it is fair to say right now on October 28th when we know that LSU, Penn State, Florida are all open, and let's throw in the fact that UCLA is open. Virginia Tech is open. Like, there are
people that say Oklahoma State is willing to actually get involved in the game.
Oklahoma State's open. That's been open for so damn long, I've completely forgot it was
Arkansas
open.
Still.
Arkansas is open. I mean, I almost said Oregon State, but that's a mid-major now, so not as fruitful.
And we don't even know, like, what quality mid-major it is.
Right. So yeah, I'm certainly open to it because to your point, Auburn is a program that's won a national championship in recent memory. Wisconsin, while not having won a title, they've been to Rose Bowls in this century. Like that's
they won the Big Ten.
They've won the Big Ten. So yeah, I'm certainly willing to listen to it because then we don't know, right? The 21 cycle, I think, just quick off the glance, is the craziest one in recent memory. But that's a lot to do with the fact that Brian Kelly left Notre Dame, Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma for USC. So there are going to be dominoes, obviously. Someone is going to leave a good job to go to take one of these jobs, right? So there's going to be additional dominoes to fall. And I think that's what ultimately will lead this to be probably the wildest coaching carousel. And man, I'm not saying they're going to be bad hires, but there are going to be some hires who be like, man, you fired your coach for that guy? Okay. And because it's just, who's out there? And I'm not saying that, once again, I'm not saying they're going to be bad coaches. I didn't think Clark Lee would lead Vanderbilt to a top 10 ranking in year five, but here we are, right? Mike Elko was what, the fourth choice for Texas A&M? He wasn't number one on their list.
Yeah, with them, it's difficult. We know for a fact the original target was Mark Stoops. Now, the question becomes, do you think Mark Stoops' name got leaked out there so that someone that had nefarious plans? Because remember, the leaking and the initial reception of Mark Stoops wasn't exactly awesome. So it's either you believe that that name was leaked.
Is it like Greg Schiano at Tennessee?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we'll oftentimes see that, the old trial balloon to try and nuke a search so that you can get the person that you want. But what is true is that Mark Stoops thought he was leaving to go to Texas A&M. Remember, he wrote the whole thank you Kentucky thing and then had to backtrack. So whether or not you think it was nefarious or whether or not you think it was Texas A&M actually having a business conversation saying, wait a minute, we just spent $76 million to tell someone not to coach our team. We have coaches that we kind of view as similar. One's going to be half of the price. Why are we not going to go do that and build around him? Well, so far, Texas A&M looks swimmingly from that.
Sure.
The reason why I bring all of this up is I think there are other complicated factors in this cycle. Number one, I think there's this uncertainty of how you would quantify or how you would qualify what a job is right now. And what I mean by that is, let's take the LSU job. If you're talking about 2019, I'll listen to every argument in the world that LSU is one of the five best jobs in the country. But if we are asking about, I really struggle when people that I respect, I'm not just saying idiots online, but people that I respect will stamp and you know, pound their fists on the table that it's a top five, if not top three job in the country, I have to ask this one question. Are you sure in this era? Because I do think one thing is undoubtedly true about the LSU job. You are the only game in town in a state that has a lot of really, really good football players. But I would also ask, what does that matter right now? And while LSU is certainly not, you know, the poorhouse in the SEC, it is certainly not the Texas A&M. I'm not even sure it's the Georgia or even the Alabama in terms of, and it's definitely not Florida, although Florida's also got some work to do on the show me where, I know you have all of this money, but why is it not going to the football program? So we'll set that aside. But if we are in this era, and really I think first you have to answer this one question. Do you think whatever the organizational structure is, whether it be the NCAA, whatever, do you actually think that we're going to be able to get to this point where, hey, you've got your, what are we calling it, your revenue sharing money, and then outside of that, like, we're going to clamp down on it? Because if we have that system, well, all of a sudden, I'm now open to the idea that LSU would be top of the charts in that, because I think if we go to that system and it actually gets held up, we would just be creating another under the table era, and I do believe in LSU in an under the table era.
So what are the drawbacks of the LSU job? I think right now, as I look at the jobs that are available,
yep,
I can make the argument that Penn State is better because the conference, in theory, is easier.
Yep.
And there is a lot of talent in Pennsylvania.
And just kind of rust belt, like, you know.
It's not as much. I'm not saying it's as much as in Louisiana or Florida, but they're still able to poach talent from down there.
So there's a couple of things. If we're going to do the whole per capita thing, well, yeah, that's fine. I'll listen to that argument. I don't know if Southerners realize, like, just how many people are up there.
Well, Penn State, I mean, the big area that Penn State can really infiltrate is the DMV, where I'm from, and it is very talent-rich. It's more of a basketball area, but it's very
plenty of great talent.
Very underrated for college football. Plenty of great players have come out of that area, and Maryland is not necessarily a destination, right?
Yep.
It is a almost a surprise when a big prospect like their current quarterback stays home as opposed to goes to wherever, goes to the South, goes to Penn State, Ohio State, etc. So I could make the argument that Penn State is better. But I think if you're looking to win a national championship, I do think LSU is probably the place that you want to try to go to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I guess this would be, when you ask what are the drawbacks, the reason why I ask is what do we think the system looks like? I tend to believe, and I know I'm going to get pushback from our administration, the administrative community, and honestly, I think a lot of coaches. No one has presented a legal argument that shows to me this is going to, what they have presented and what they want to be quote unquote law is going to hold up. So because of that, this now just becomes the ultimate who can spend the most money. And perfect example, LSU last year had the number one defensive lineman in the entire country from New Orleans. Had him set ready to go to LSU, and then USC comes in the 11th hour, basically doubles the money, and moves on.
Same could be said about Bryce Underwood, right?
Correct.
They had Bryce Underwood committed, and Michigan comes in and throws around the big money. Now, I think to play devil's advocate to that, and I saw a couple of stories come out saying, are we going to see a bunch of LSU decommits? And the overwhelming answer was, no, probably not. Because no one commits to Brian Kelly. And as a Notre Dame fan, I can attest to that he is very good at a lot of things, Brian Kelly. Being a bulldog recruiter is very low on that list. He does not like recruiting. He has never really been one to build personal relationships with recruits.
Or a staff.
Or a staff. As Clark Lee told my buddies on the Independent podcast that He didn't really know Brian Kelly until he showed up to work. So I do think if you get a bulldog recruiter, maybe you have a better chance of keeping those guys. You could build a relationship, and if the money's a little bit off. I still think when push comes to shove right now, LSU is the most attractive job of the ones out there. But I would definitely listen to the Penn State side of it, because I'll also say this. James Franklin, while he got fired after, you know, losing to Northwestern and UCLA, that dude got a pretty long leash. And he brought a lot of success there. I don't want to take away from him. But he won one Big Ten championship, didn't really win a ton of big games, but he kind of had what Brian Kelly did at Notre Dame. He had sustained success outside of what? The COVID season was a little wacky. He'd had some...
Wasn't there a season after COVID? Like, the COVID season was bad, but I think they had a season after COVID where they were kind of down.
There was also a year where he had to go out and make a big coordinator hire, and he picked up Joe Moorhead from Fordham, and that became a huge hire for him, and Moorhead would obviously parlay on to Mississippi State, etc. from there on out. But I do think if you're talking about stability... I feel like you get that at Penn State a little bit more so than LSU, because LSU, you better win, man. The previous, what, three head coaches all won national championships, and in year four, it wasn't a train wreck.
No, I think this is
for Brian Kelly, but it was one that didn't meet the lofty expectations.
Well, and that's the other question. Why were the expectations what they were?
Because 2019's football team was the greatest team.
Okay, but what was the win total?
This year? 8.5, I think.
So, to me, the single biggest lesson was, listen, I get it. You want to carry yourself with confidence. But, like, why were they just talking, this is national title, national title, national title, national title, when your win total's sitting there at 8.5? Like, at least with the Penn State one, it made sense. What, the win total was 10.5, right?
The Penn State one makes a ton of sense because it felt like this was the year, right?
Correct.
You heard all these stories. You're bringing everyone back. You kept Singleton. You kept Allen. You kept Drew Aller. You finally got wide receivers. It made all the sense in the world. you lose that game to Oregon, you're kind of on thin ice, and then those back-to-back losses. And it just, it was clear that James Franklin's voice had grown old or whatever it was. However,
stale, whatever.
Stale. Yeah. I think that's a better way to put it, right? But I think there's a reason. Now, age plays into it. But I think there's a reason why James Franklin is going to have multiple job offers, in my opinion. And Brian Kelly, I don't think he's going to coach. I don't think he's going to coach ever again. I think Brian Kelly's done.
I think it's a matter of, does he want to be done?
I don't think he, from, once again, I don't know Brian Kelly personally. All I know is the reporters that covered him extensively at Notre Dame. He's 64 years old. He's not a Bulldog recruiter. I think if he wants to be a coach, he'll coach again. But I think he wants to win a national championship, and I don't see a team, a program
out
there. Yeah,
I think that's fair. But like, if you talk me into, hey, somehow the Wisconsin job comes open.
But I think, I mean, once again, if he took the Wisconsin job or, you know, the Virginia Tech job, I'm just using examples. I'm not saying
I think he'd only do a Big Ten job. Because I do agree, if the options are like Virginia Tech or Oklahoma State, I'm not saying for those fan bases, I'm not saying that that's what, but what I'm saying is that's where I do agree that he's above that in his mind.
And he's probably right. I mean, he's the all-time winningest coach at Notre Dame.
They have to pay him $58 million.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some negotiations.
That's mudslinging.
We'll see. Bryce of Football Scoop kind of indicated that, and he's usually pretty well sourced. I think it's going to be, if I had to guess, I think it's going to be, give me a lump sum of
okay,
X.
Okay, I can buy that, but that's the net present value, and it ain't going to be that cheap. And we're talking, you know what I mean? Like,
I think he walks away, if I had to guess, I bet you he walks away with like 35 to 40 million lump sum, and then we're just, no offset, right? Penn State's offsetting.
Correct.
I think there's going to be no offsetting. I think he's just going to get a bunch of cash.
Yeah, no, it'll be a lump sum. Just
go on your way and enjoy wherever you ultimately go.
Okay, but this gets back to the point that I would likely make is, I firmly believe, based on what I'm watching and based on what I'm seeing in terms of purchasing power for a roster, the only two schools in the SEC that can actually max out at the national title level are Texas A&M and Texas. And I think the other problem with LSU is it's really tough to make people believe when 6 years ago, we arguably saw the greatest college football team we've ever seen. And to sit there and say that's not doable anymore, it's just not going to fly. But if we are going to continue in this era where it is simply just who can spend the most and that's how you buy a contender, I do not think LSU is that job. Now, if you want to gamble and say, like, because think about it in these terms. Do you think if Brian Kelly knew what he knows now, do you think he would have left in 2021?
Yes.
Because I would be of the opinion, I think if he knows what it takes to win now, Notre Dame's the better job. And I'm not saying Marcus Freeman wouldn't kill it anywhere. I think he's obviously a great coach. But I think the Notre Dame job is a better job. I think when he left, he thought LSU's a place I can win a title. Notre Dame's not a place. The landscape changed so fast and so quickly, I think he would have had it. He ended up leaving what he thought was a better chance for a national title, and the irony is, if he would have stayed put, he probably would have had a better job for a better chance to win a national title.
This might sound crazy. I actually think Brian Kelly leaving enhanced Notre Dame in this regard. Not to say that he's not a good coach. I think Marcus Freeman has his warts, and he's had some losses that Brian Kelly, I can guarantee you, they would not have lost those games. But I think with Brian Kelly leaving and the changing of the landscape, which I think is a very fair point now that Notre Dame is paying players, because it's thought, and I'm just, you know, I'm not going to pretend, oh, Notre Dame never cheated. I'm sure they figured out ways to get some players in. But now that you're legally allowed to pay, it does feel like they're kind of on an even playing field.
It's
they
much
have
more
cash.
Palatable to a lot of people.
Sure. And I think with Brian Kelly saying what he said on his way out, essentially, I can't win here. I'm going to a place that I can win. I think that lit the fire a little bit more for some folks up in South Bend and around the country to say, okay, here's extra cash. Let's go win a national championship.
Yeah,
so,
I'm with you. I can see where it's like the BYU thing, like when a when they lost Pope to Kentucky, there's kind of like a scorned lover of "we'll show right. you." Yeah. I think the difference though is when you sit there and you reach out to the Notre Dame alumni base and you say, "Hey, let's show him." There's deeper pockets.
Sure, and I also think to back to your original question, would Brian Kelly have left? I still think he would have left because he got offered $95 million and he didn't. I'll say this, you know, and this isn't just exclusive to Notre Dame, but there's some uppityness, obviously, to Notre Dame. Oh, you gotta love it and you gotta love the gold. He never really embraced Notre Dame. He's a really good coach, but he never really wrapped his arms around the institution, like Marcus Freeman right now is showing. Not to say that Marcus Freeman will never leave. He's only 39 years old, so I'm not going to say he's never going to leave. But there is something about Notre Dame, and he just never fully was like, I am in love of being here, and this is the greatest place on earth, and you know all of that. He's a very good coach, won a lot of football games. But I do think that as the time wore on, he was kind of getting into it with the AD about some things, and he was poking around. And ultimately, he said it in a press conference. People were asking, hey, would you ever leave? And he's like, I'll never say never. There might be, I think it was like, fairy godmother offer, and that came from Scott Woodward.
Yeah, we got it. I wonder what Trace Armstrong knew at that point. All right, so we can get back to the coaching carousel later on. All right, so this is the other question I was thinking about. Who do you want to write their name in Sharpie into the playoff right now?
Indiana.
Okay.
Ohio State.
Yep.
Alabama. Ole Miss.
All right, you ready for this?
Okay.
I'm good with on Ohio State and Indiana.
And Texas A&M.
I'm good with you on Texas A&M because the remaining schedule is at Mizzou against a third-string quarterback. Although I will say this, I don't know how many eyes and how often you got to watch the Mizzou Vandy game on Saturday. I didn't think the freshmen looked overwhelmed.
I didn't either. I was surprised.
You know what I mean?
They spent a lot of money on Bo Prabula.
Well, and on top of that, like the way Drink was talking after the game, it was like he knew it was over. I'm not saying that, hey, because you know you could have just been like, hey, maybe we've actually seen examples of guys. They get thrust in just kind of, and they just can kind of backyard football it. And then when they have to actually prepare for the whole week, like that's when the gravity deals too much. Once upon a time, Jevon Snead replaced, I think he replaced Colt in an injury in Texas. I think it was a Kansas State game. And he looked really good. And everyone's like, oh, they've got their next guy. Well, and then when Jevon became their starter, it didn't work out. He ends up transferring to Ole Miss, has one good year, and has a so-so year, a senior year. But like, if you would have just watched him during it was the national title game. Yeah, yeah, he came in for Colt in the national title game and looked okay.
All right, I will remove Bama. I think they're in, but they do have potential landmines.
Yep. Okay, so that's...
So I'll remove that because Sharpie, right? That's
correct.
That's permanent marker. So Ohio State, Indiana are 1,000% Sharpie. They're... I mean, Indiana's remaining schedule is an absolute
at
joke.
Maryland, at Penn State, Wisconsin at home, at Purdue, presumably the Big Ten championship.
And they can lose one of those games.
Correct. And then you would mark out the Big Ten championship game.
Right. So Indiana, Sharpie, Ohio State, Sharpie, A&M. I look at Mizzou. That's next week off a bye. South Carolina and Texas. A&M.
You're just going to leave the Samford game out?
I am going to leave the Samford game out. A&M could lose two of those games.
I agree. I'm fine with you on A&M.
And can I convince you on Ole Miss?
No, because I've watched enough Ole Miss in my life.
But they can lose one of those games.
I'm not so sure, so this is where we get into it. All right, ready?
Yep.
Are you familiar with what Washington's remaining schedule is?
Oh, yeah, baby. I got a ticket on Washington to make the playoff. I'm very aware.
Washington, for those uninitiated, at Wisconsin, Purdue at home, at UCLA, and Oregon. Does anyone want to sit here and say, because I felt for a while, and now I've watched Oregon with different eyes since Indiana, I don't know how many people stayed up to watch the Wisconsin game that they had last week.
Oregon is definitely not Sharpie.
Correct.
They got USC, and I know make your jokes about USC.
Nope.
I think they're talented.
I'm telling you, I watched, if I get it, that was a classic where we've been flip-flopping back and forth all across the country. We're back. Like, Wisconsin presents nothing of a challenge. Like, they probably didn't take it seriously. They probably didn't even practice that hard against them. So, like, I understand that. But at the same time, they have at Iowa. Oregon has at Iowa, which all of a sudden, maybe Iowa's kind of what some people thought they were going to be coming into the year. Again, I'm still curious. I'm less stumping, more curious. They have Minnesota at home, SC at home, and then at Washington. My whole point is, if Washington runs that table, 10-2 Washington is getting in.
Very good chance.
Because their two losses would be Ohio State and Michigan on the road.
And I'll say this, to that point, the Big Ten is getting at least three teams in. So if you're right now, the odds would indicate it's Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon.
Exactly. Right? So if you replace Oregon with somebody,
now it could be USC, but the tricky part about USC is that they lose the tiebreaker to Notre Dame.
Correct. So
Washington, on the flip side, does not have one of those. So yeah, I'll listen to the Washington.
Okay.
12-1, by the way, to make the playoff. Just
again, I'm just letting people know this is out there. That's not that far fetched.
No, I don't think so.
So Michigan has Purdue at Northwestern, at Maryland, and Ohio State.
That's a bit of a challenge there to close
out
the season.
But
they have won four straight against them.
If we operate under the assumption, whenever Ohio State, no matter how much more superior they are, when they see the winged helmet, they have a freak out and an emotional, like, psychiatric crisis, that would be hilarious. Because in that scenario, then you would have a 10-2 Michigan with an Ohio State win. That team is getting in.
And they're going to the Big Ten championship because they have the head-to-head tiebreak over
Ohio
State.
One of their other losses would be Oklahoma, which would be on the road. Okay, here's the reason why I say I'm not as willing to put Ole Miss in Sharpie yet.
Okay,
I actually think South Carolina coming to town this week is actually a pretty good thing for them, because that felt like, man, South Carolina unloaded the clip on Saturday.
Yeah, I'm doing my letdown spots for tonight's show, and I can't decide if I want to put Ole Miss on it, because I do agree. I think that last week was the ultimate spot for South Carolina. Playing Alabama off four straight wins at home. And when you blow that lead like they did, I agree. I'm curious how they will respond now going on the road to Ole Miss.
Okay. Citadel, fine. I would like to see what Florida looks like this weekend, but they haven't had a mass exodus yet, despite firing Sunbelt Billy. And I can tell you this. It's entirely possible that they could be better organized without Sunbelt Billy. And that team has still got plenty of talent all around the field. That would be the ultimate. They come in on the road, and that's just not a given for me. Because one thing I do think Florida will be able to do is I do think they'll be able to line up and run the football in Ole Miss.
Yeah, I would say I don't really want to touch this weekend's game of Florida,
Georgia. Right. No, I'm fine. Now, we could also see this weekend, our eyes could say, oh, they're done. And then all of a sudden, I'm with you. But I can tell you this, in the back of every Ole Miss fan's mind is the idea of the day after Thanksgiving going to Starkville at 10-1 and then losing that game, because people can say what they want. When you lose does matter. And if you go at 10-2, and then all of a sudden, all right, here we go. You ready? We think A&M will be 10-2 or better, correct?
Yep.
Alabama could be 10-2 or better.
Correct.
So for those curious, Alabama's remaining schedule, they got a bye week this week. They host LSU and Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois at Auburn. Georgia still has Florida this week in Jacksonville, at Mississippi State, Texas at home, Charlotte at home, Georgia Tech in the Falcon Stadium. That's entirely possible they could lose one of those. I don't think that, like, again, I'm not saying I expect it to happen, but that's not insane to think they could lose one of those games.
So,
all right, so here we go. Vandy, Texas this week, Auburn, Kentucky at Tennessee. I can see where Vandy's at 10-2. Again, I could also see 9-3, and then I do think the 10-2 versus 9-3 matters. Tennessee or Oklahoma, one of them could get to 10-2. So it feels like it's an elimination game this weekend in Knoxville because Tennessee has Oklahoma, New Mexico State, at Florida, Vanderbilt at home. So now if you're sitting here and you're Ole Miss and you're 10-2 and your best win is
Oklahoma.
At Oklahoma, which entirely possibly they could lose this week, they could lose next week, and then they could lose one of the two of Mizzou at LSU, but who knows? You know what I mean?
So if you're making the case against a 10-2 Ole Miss,
the resume's thin.
The resume was going to be super duper thin if they lost at Oklahoma, but they got the win. So right now that's a good win. But to your point, it has the potential of falling apart.
Correct.
Because there's a reality where Oklahoma is 6-5 going into their regular season finale against LSU.
Yes. And then if you have just a dead dog loser, you know.
I will certainly listen to that. I think ultimately we could talk about this. I know we're up against a break here, but I think ultimately what is a big wrench in a lot of this is the ACC.
And I would argue the Big 12.
So more so the ACC for me. We can get into the Big 12, but here's the weird scenario brewing in the ACC. Miami's getting in at 11-1. Lock of the century.
Yep.
They're getting in. They beat Notre Dame.
We're all good.
That win gets better every second.
All good there.
But they have an ACC loss.
Yep.
Georgia Tech is undefeated right now in the ACC. Louisville has one loss, but who was that loss against?
Miami.
Or who was that? They have one loss.
Miami loses the tiebreaker to Louisville, is your point.
And they lose the tiebreaker to Virginia.
Correct.
I think Virginia is a fraud amongst all frauds of frauds in college football. All that being said, they have to lose two games, Virginia does, in order to lose out in a tiebreak against Miami.
Their remaining schedule is at Cal, Wake, at Duke, Vatek.
Now, they are a 4.5-point underdog, our favorite this weekend. I think they're going to lose to Cal because I think Virginia's a bunch of frauds. That all being said, could they win that game? They're favored to do so. Could they figure out a way somehow with that rabbit's foot shoved you-know-where in that keister of Virginia that they could only have one loss? Absolutely. And then they're in, and guess what? The ACC champion is guaranteed a spot, and therefore Miami's in, and the ACC champ is in, and that's one less spot for the SEC.
Well, and we haven't even mentioned
Notre Dame.
We haven't even mentioned what if Georgia Tech beats Georgia? There's a scenario where they're going to have to sit there and come up with some extreme galaxy brain logic to hold out three ACC teams. Again, it's not
Georgia
Tech.
Yes, if Georgia Tech runs the table, and like you said, unlikely but possible, if they run the table, beat Georgia, and then lose in the ACC championship, Georgia Tech's in too.
And then you got a whole bunch of problems. We'll talk about the Big 12 one too, because we can get back into this during hour number two. But let's take a break. When we come back, let's recap the week that was. Our weekly awards next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM. Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes. Stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, If shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
We'll talk about that epic World Series Game 3 last night. It honestly felt like two games. I think it was two games. I made it through two and a half. I also had an observation I wanted to pick your brain about. Also, there's an interesting story in The Athletic from Andrew Marchand about Scott Van Pelt's future. It's still going to be at ESPN, but there were a couple of ideas kicked around. We'll talk about that and more. But now let's recap the week that was during college football. Let's get into our weekly awards. Tim, your team of the week.
Memphis.
We agree.
Hell of a win. What a bounce back. And now in the driver's seat to go to the college football playoff. I mean, that game was massive. And I think everyone knows it. And I'll just say this, as we do situational spots every Tuesday on VSiN Primetime, a little shameless plug, you better believe Memphis is the sandwich spot of the week, because going to Rice, facing that pain in the butt offense with Tulane on deck, national television. I know they've already had their stinker, which doesn't make me necessarily love the spot for Rice, but you better be buttoned up after that South Florida win. But looking at it positively, no doubt.
See, I think there's a different sandwich spot. It's a place you're all too familiar with. It's one Greenville, North Carolina. So that's the one that that one it's like, oh boy. If you can give me north of a touchdown.
So they got Tulane and Navy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This schedule is a double-decker sandwich.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's the way it sets up. Yeah.
This is definitely, and this isn't our take on the club. This is a good old-fashioned pile the ham, pile the turkey, put some bacon on that bad boy. Oh, yeah.
But got to give him credit, man. What a game. What a game. Brendan Lewis, just a badass performance. Yeah, no doubt. Team of the week for me.
I also would have accepted submissions for how Texas A&M went to a place that they had not won in conference. They hadn't won there, I think, was it 94? They kept showing the highlights of.
Down at the half, too.
Down at the half, and that place is just rocking and rolling. And they were just so surgical and bruising in the second half. Like, I would have accepted a submission for them. I mean, Georgia Tech's workmanlike atmosphere and attitude is definitely up there. BYU going on the road looked like they were kind of going to get Iowa stated. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was 17-7, that interception turned everything.
Yep, and I a team that we've talked about, I think, for 2 months now, like Cincinnati just keeps doing it. We'll talk more about the Big 12 race because I do think that one's fascinating. All right, Heisman of the Week. I just have a rule of thumb as someone who grew up worshiping Mike Leach and every average quarterback I saw that could put up 600. Like, who is going to be this year's guy to lead the league or lead the nation and with 5,000 yards passing? I get it, Charlotte adjusted. But when somebody throws for 600 plus, I just have to give him my weekly Heisman. Drew Mestemaker, North Texas, goes 37 of 49 for 608, four touchdowns, one pick. He also ran for 18. But that was a classic. I was sitting there going, is North Texas's defense good enough to beat anyone by 26, 27? And, like, I was close to firing on Charlotte. And at one point I looked up and like Charlotte, I think, had a lead. And then the next time I looked at my phone at halftime of the game that I was calling, they were down 35. I was like, man, I'm glad I avoided that one.
Charlotte and North Texas on Friday night were tied at halftime.
Yeah.
And then North Texas covered 54-20, the final score. So, yeah, that was my Heisman of the week, too. But I can pivot to a couple other folks. I'll go Trinidad Chambliss. You go on the road against a Oklahoma defense. You throw for 315. You run for 53. And I don't know if you knew this. You played D2 football.
I've heard once or twice.
And there weren't a lot of people.
Anybody know where he played?
I can't remember. Some Ferris State. Yeah, something okay. Like that. Yeah. I don't know. Also, not a lot of people attended their games. So these were big crowds that he was in playing in front of. But yeah, he was great. Continues to be a stud, man. And what a find by Lane and his staff. He's been a revelation. So I would give him the runner-up. But when a dude throws for 608 yards, kind of have to give him his rightful due.
I saw live and in person B.J. Simmons 661, and it felt like more. It was. I saw it live and in person. All right, most college football moment of the week. This might be more for college football gamblers. I know. The number told you Cal was the sucker side. But the number got up to 6.5. And I sat there and said, Justin Wilcox, damn near worth a touchdown against Virginia Tech. Fine, I'll take it. So I didn't take this early in the week. So I took it, and Vatek comes out on fire, jumps up 10-0. Then Cal storms all the way back. They take a 20-10 lead into the break. Vatek gets up 7, but right off the bat, like, Cal was basically inside of the number of the 60 minutes. They were inside of the number for like 45 of them. And there is nothing quite like knowing when you see the graphic on ESPN that this kicker in game-winning opportunities is 10 for 10, you know that kick has a 0.0% chance of going in. And the Virginia Tech young man, who I've already forgotten his name, doinks it off of the upright.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cal got a decent chance. Now, I'm not realistically expecting the Cal kicker to make it because it felt like his range was like 40. He gets a 49-yarder. He didn't hit the world's worst kick, but it was just that classic kick that started right and never. You never really thought it had a chance to come back in. So lo and behold, you're now in this position where either you just needed the Vatek kid to make it or you needed the Cal kid to make it because you know full well what is going to happen. We're going to overtime, and if you're sitting there with the underdog, that is the worst because there's only one way that you can lose. And that one way is having the team score and get the two-point play first in the second overtime. First overtime, Cal loses the toss, which normally you're sitting there going, okay, that's good. Let's go get a field goal, guys. Let's get a field goal. That's it. Let's play it safe. Let's get a field goal. We'll D up, see what happens. Because that way, if you lose on a touchdown, it's a walk-off. Nobody kicks the extra point. You're fine. Cal scores on the first play. Immediately kicks the extra point. Then Vatek comes right back, and they run basically quarterback power read just the entire last fourth quarter, overtime, everything. No chance of stopping it. Bang. Touchdown. And then I'm screaming, you're Virginia Tech. Phillip Montgomery, what are you doing? You're not playing for anything. Go for two. Go for the win. Because by the way,
Carolina did.
So did Tulsa. And I applauded both of them. Yeah. I'm not going to be a hypocrite on this. Go for two. What do you got to lose? You got to go for two the next period anyway. And by the way, you've just run zone read. Like, they can't stop it. Just run it and end the game. No. We got to play one more period. And lo and behold, touchdown. They get the two with ease. And then Cal has what should have either been a not unspecified. They called targeting, but then Matt Austin comes on and goes, it shouldn't have been untargeting. It should have been unnecessary roughness. And basically, receiver open, pretty good ball from JKS, but he hears footsteps from the safety, and he gator arms it, and then you know the rest. Incomplete, game over, lose by 8. Like, just anyone that has been in that spot of knowing every dreaded scenario that you're just playing out in your head, like, it just was check, 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 check.
I will say, you did get a bit fortunate on a horrendous pass, roughing the passer call.
What are you talking about? He got underneath his chin. That's highly dangerous. That's how you get concussed.
My moment, I got 2.
Well, the problem is, you know what? I wanted the roughing the passer. No, I wanted it to not be called. Because you know why? It was such a bad sack that there was no way Wilcox was going to go for it. It was still outside of 2 minutes. He had 2 timeouts plus the 2-minute warning. All I wanted for them was to kick the field goal. I actually thought in real time that was bad. I didn't have money line.
This is what gambling does to you people.
When you start a possession rooting one way and then the possession turns a certain way and you want it to go another, yeah, that's what gambling
does.
When
you know all the rules of overtime and you're like, if we could just get the 3 overtimes,
yep,
we're good.
Yes, I just got to get to the 3rd overtime.
If we could just
I didn't even need to get to the 3rd overtime. I just had to have them score.
Yes, you needed a field goal for Cal in
yes.
the opening possession, and then you would have been
fine,
more than likely good, unless Virginia Tech kicked a field goal. Did you see the end of the Purdue game?
Okay, so I saw Purdue was up how much?
It was tied. So they got out to a good start. Purdue was up 10-0 on Rutgers, and they were moving the ball very well. But the end of the game was one of the craziest things that I've seen.
I saw
in
the
a while.
Kick, but it was like one of those ones where they cut into, you know, it's like the game break. And so you have no idea like what the context was. I remember thinking at one point, this is going to be a nice win for Purdue. And I assumed that you had Purdue because you, for whatever reason, cannot quit betting Purdue. And I was like, oh, that would be a nice win, I'm sure, for Tim, even though I didn't know what your card was. And then I saw the kick go through and I was like, oh, well, I wonder how that happened.
So I did have Purdue personally. It wasn't a, you know, air quotes, official play, but I lost money on the game. But the ending of this game just made me laugh. So Purdue takes a 24-21 lead, and then Rutgers drives right down the field, but they're held to a field goal. So we're tied at 24. Purdue is I think they closed as the favorite, but I got them at like 2-point underdog, whatever. So it's 24-24, and there is a minute left. Ryan Brown drops back to pass. He throws a pass. It gets deflected in the air. He catches it, and then the ball gets punched out.
Oh, boy.
And Rutgers recovers at the Purdue 30. They milk the clock. They kick a game-winning field goal. They win 27-24. I've never seen that before where the quarterback catches his own pass, and then as he's going down to the ground, he fumbles it. That was rough. I did win on Wake Forest. This was excruciating because they were such the right side, and I was excited for SMU to sneak out with a weird 12-10 win. Wake Forest fumbled not once, but twice on the 5-yard line at SMU. They were going in twice. Tom Brenneman was losing his mind on the broadcast. And then after the second fumble, it's 12-10. SMU gets the ball back. They have to punt the ball back to Wake Forest. And Wake Forest, I think, completes one pass, spikes it, and the dude makes a 50-yard field goal by an inch, just skimming the bottom of the bar. It actually hit the back pad of the field goal post. 13-12, Wake Forest won that game. Both in that early window, just wacky ways to end the game.
All right, stock up. I'm not doing this from like to make Ole Miss fans feel better, but I think Wazoo doesn't suck. So
that's a good win. By the way, as soon as Toledo went to favorite,
yeah,
they were going to lose. Jason yep. Candle, since 2021, no team has lost more games as a favorite than Toledo.
The other teams, we've talked about it a little bit. Kansas State is now actually looking like they should have looked all year. Like I don't know what their adjustments have been, but they're looking good. And also, I know we make fun of them, but ever since the bye week, North Carolina doesn't look god-awful anymore. So if you were just like running the where's my bitch offense and just looking for North Carolina going to fade them, proceed with caution.
I bet North Carolina on Saturday, they should have won the game.
Yeah.
They were the better football team. And
they also had a fumble like at the goal line, and then the last play, whatever, they come up with not even a foot short.
Yeah, an inch short. And I agree with you. I think the decision to go for two, I applauded them for...
win the game.
For that, yeah.
I mean, what else? Like, you needed something to play for. Also, for stock down, like, this is like the classic one. Like, I don't know who to ding because it was such a weird game. There was rain. There was fumbles everywhere. But, man, I think I'm just out on the Jalen Daniels experiment and the whole experience. Like, I know it wasn't all his fault. Like, they can't block anybody. But, like, I'm just so sick of watching this guy take a snap and confidently throw it like directly into triple coverage. Like, I'm just done with it.
I've said it a couple times. I know they won. I am so out on Virginia. I will be betting against them every week until they lose.
We get Wilcox as a dog.
This team is so fraudulent, and it drove me crazy. And I actually really like Greg McElroy. I think he does a good job. I like his pod. I listen to it. But I think he had like UVA like 12th or 13th last week because they only have one loss. I'm like, they lost.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.